If you got a little guy, a little girl that is going to go to class, Miss Lori's in the back there. She will be more than happy to take them and bring them back there and share God's word with them. All right, let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer. Father God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are and for loving us. Lord, we thank you for your word that we're going to look into today. Father, I ask that you would help us to listen to your voice, not just today, but each and every day. We love you and cherish you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at how to embrace a closer walk with God. And we've been looking at how to do that first through studying his word. Now, next week, we're going to look at prayer. Next week and the week after, we're going to look at the other half of that communication cycle. But I brought this retro radio. Some of you are going to really kind of have some flashbacks. Some of you people that are a little more seasoned, like myself, maybe. So I know today, your phones, you press a little button and it goes right to the station and everything's all good, okay? But for those of us that have a little bit of gray, that's what we heard. I don't know if you can hear that. That's pretty much what you hear when you turn the radio on. How do I get past that? I gotta turn the little dial.
It was devastating.
Right? And what am I doing right now?
It's like
tuning it. Right. So, that's loud. So, what we want to talk about today is how to tune into God. Because a lot of people want to hear from God, or they say they do, but they're not doing what's necessary to do that. If I sat this here and stepped back and hoped for that radio to start making noise, is it gonna ever make noise by itself? I gotta engage it, right? I gotta there's something on my part to be able to hear what's going on. And that's what we're gonna talk about, okay? The Bible is the primary way that God speaks to us today. Now, let's put that out there first. Can God speak to us any way he wants, if he chooses? Could he show up in physical form right here, right now, and start talking to us if he chose to? He could if he wanted to. Nothing's stopping him. But his primary way of speaking to us is through his word. Now, we know, Romans chapter 1 talks about how he speaks to us through his creation. We get that. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through a number of different ways. But his primary way is through his word. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we looked at this verse at length. It says, the word of God is living and active. We talked about that. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is amazing. It truly is. But we need to be in God's word, and God's word needs to be in us. So I can't just take my Bible like that radio and just put it there and step back and say, I really hope that I can get something out of God's word today. It involves us to tune in. I like the way Phillips Brooks put it. He said, the Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he looks at his telescope, he does not see anything but that. The Bible is a thing to be looked through to see that which is beyond. That's pretty good, right? The question is not, is God speaking to us? The real question is, are we listening? That's what it comes down to. How many of you have children? So you know that there's a big difference from hearing and listening when it comes to our children, right? Our children, you know, their ears may be perfectly fine. You tell them something and it's almost as though they're in a different world, okay? But and the same is true, you know, we all kind of struggle sometimes with listening. Because the question isn't, is God speaking? God is always speaking. He's given us his word, his creation, other people, churches, so on and so forth. But we're not always listening because we struggle with listening. How many of you are aware that there's some kind of athletic competition going on later on today? Any of you know about that? Yeah. Yeah. A couple of us are very excited about that, Kurt, right? We're excited about that today, okay, because we're both from New England. And I know that's a sore topic around here, but it is what it is. I can't help it that we're incredible, okay? But, watch, they're going to lose and I'm going to come back next week and I'm like, sorry, guys. The Super Bowl, people really get into it. It's the most watched sporting event in our country, okay? Single event, all right? People get really into it. Now imagine today, how many of you are planning, even though your team may not be in, how many of you are planning on watching at least a portion of it today? Okay. Picture this, guys. I'm going to pick on the guys a little. Picture this, guys. You're watching the game, okay, and you're into it. And you hear something in the background, but you don't really know what's going on. You're into the game, and you hear something, but you're just focused. You're eating your pizza, whatever you're eating, meatballs, whatever, and you hear it again, and you're like, oh yeah, but the game's on. Turns out that voice is your wife. Okay, she's speaking to you. And after a little, you might be doing this. You're watching, And you're into the game. And finally she says what? You're not listening to me. Right? Some of you guys are like, it happens to me all the time, even without the game. But today it's going to happen a lot, okay? Now, for just a little bit of sidetracking marriage counseling, guys, don't do that today. Just listen to your wife. Yes, dear. Okay, what do you? Yep. Okay, the game's on. I'll put it on pause. Whatever, because you don't want to end up in a doghouse. When God speaks, do we listen, or are we saying and then continuing to go about our business? That's really the question. Because God is always speaking. So what I want to do today for just a little bit here is I want to take a brief moment. I want to look at Samuel, young Samuel. Samuel was the only, he was one of the greatest prophets, but he was the only one that had three different offices. He was a judge, a prophet, and a priest. Okay? And he was, when he was a boy, he served under the high priest Eli to start out with. So we know that he was brought to the temple. He served under Eli, did some of the duties around the temple, okay? At one point, he hears a voice. He's sleeping. He wakes up, and he hears a voice calling out to him. Happens a few times, okay? So, and it's in this series, this one verse, where we see what does it mean to tune in to God. Again, primary way he speaks to us is through his written word. How do we tune into this in such a way that we're hearing, listening, and growing in God because of his word? And I think that we're going to see that here. You can follow along in your notes, either in the bulletin or on the app if you want to follow that way. But first and foremost, we must be able to listen to God. The key word here is salvation. Keyword is salvation. Stepping back for a second. Can God speak to whoever he wants? Yes. But we're talking about more than just hearing a voice. We're talking more than just reading a page. We're talking about hearing God's intent, okay? And to do that, we need to be able. 1 Samuel 3:10 puts it this way. It says, the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. The Lord called him three times before this, and each time he was confused. And I got a question. Why did Samuel not recognize the word of God? Why did Samuel, he hears his voice three times. And all three times he says, yeah, he went to Eli, said, yeah, did you call me? Second time, he hears his voice again. He goes to Eli. Did you call me? Third time again, and then finally, something happens here. But why didn't he recognize his voice? I think verse 7 kind of gives us an answer to that. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, He didn't know him. He's serving in the temple, but he doesn't know the Lord. That's pretty convicting. We could be serving at church, serving our neighbors, but do we know the Lord? Because it's not a works-based salvation, right? It's based on God's grace, God's love, God's mercy that we're saved. And if we're saved and then serving, well, that's the cart and the horse in the right place, right? Here's a guy, he's a young boy, so we're not gonna beat him up. He's a young boy, he's serving, but now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Who do we blame in this? I mean, Eli, what are you doing? You're the high priest, right? We're not going to spend pointing a lot of fingers here, but the word of God wasn't yet revealed to him. He did not yet enter into a relationship with God. We can hear voices all over the place. But if one of you calls me, or if some guy down the street calls me, I'm going to be talking to you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be talking to you because we got a relationship. Okay? Same is true with this. Samuel was not able to hear from God because he did not yet know God. Eli figures this out, and Eli prepares Samuel at this point. Okay? And Samuel's response begins his faith journey. Okay? He says, speak. So he hears the Lord's voice. He doesn't run to Samuel. I mean, he doesn't run to Eli, which he did the first three times. Instead, he reaches out to the Lord. The Lord speaks to him, Samuel. Instead of running to somebody else, he engages God. He begins a relationship with God. Okay? And that's what we see happen here. He calls upon the name of the Lord. He was in a position to hear God. Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 and 21, we read, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. That is huge. He enters into a relationship with the Lord. Now the Lord is with him. Now he starts to hear the word of the Lord. Now he starts to hear God's voice. Now he starts to walk in relationship with God. Now he is saved and he is trusting in the Lord. And now he can hear from God. If you're having trouble hearing from God, the first thing we ask is, do I know the Lord? If we do, okay, now we go from there. But that's really the first step is salvation. In verse 21, it says, and the Lord appeared again to Shiloh, in Shiloh. And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, again, by the word of the Lord. As followers of Christ, we're in a position to be able to listen to God. We read in John chapter 10, verse 27, we read, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We all have verses that we like to go to that are like, oh, this is an important verse in my life. This is a big verse in my life. I want to submit to you, this should be one of them. It really should. My sheep hear my voice. If you belong to God, it's not like, you own a car, you own a shovel, you own a broom, you own a this. It's intimate and personal. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. I know them. And as children of God, we can hear him, we can follow him, know him, and we can follow him. So the question is, do you hear God's voice when you're reading God's word? Think about that. I'm not talking about the booming voice out of the sky. I'm talking about like 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, where that still small voice that speaks to your spirit and your soul. When you're reading God's word, are you just reading another book? Because we can do that. Even as believers, we can do that, right? Let's be honest, how many of you have ever, you read a couple of chapters and maybe you weren't feeling it, but you want to be faithful, so you read them and then you walked away and it really didn't impact you. Let's be honest, how many of you have ever done that? It doesn't make you an evil person. It doesn't make you Judas or Pontius Pilate or anything like that. It makes you a human being. But if that's happening on a regular basis, we need to start asking questions. Why am I not hearing God's voice? Why? I'm one of his sheep. I'm one of his children. I'm one of his citizens. I'm one of his followers. I'm one of his disciples. I'm one of his. Why am I going through this dry land? The Bible calls it the Valley of Baca. And in the Valley of Baca, there was an oasis, a well, spread out so that when you travel through this barren wasteland, there's times where it's dry and there's nothing there, and then you get to this refreshing water. It's called the Valley of Baca. Sometimes we're stuck in the Valley of Baca and we don't even realize it. And we're just like, how come I haven't heard from God in whatever? If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are in a position where you are able to hear from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We talked last week about, hey, what's the difference between a soul and a spirit? The soul is the personality, intellect, and will of a person. The spirit is that part that is able, that God brings alive in us when we come to know him, that is able to commune with God himself. And he speaks to us through his spirit, through his word. The only way we're able to receive God's word is to place our faith, hope, and trust in Christ. And if you have not done that, which I don't know, I only know about myself, to be honest. But if you have not, that's probably why you're not hearing from God. And maybe that's where your first step is. Maybe, you know, Samuel, who's serving in the temple, maybe you've been going to church for years, and maybe you're like, I kind of grew up in it, and this is where I am. And maybe it's that point in time where God says, yeah, but I don't just want a relationship with you through your parents or through your church or through this or through that. I want a relationship with you. Maybe that's where you are. I don't know. The only way we can actually hear this is to turn it on. The way we turn this on is we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay? So that's the first part for Samuel. But like we said already, you can be a child of God and still not be really hearing from God. There are times like that. So at that point, we need to be ready to hear God's word. We need to be ready. Key word here is sanctification. Sanctification is one of the most amazing words in Scripture because there's two aspects of it. There's an immediate sanctification when you trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He separates you. Sanctification means separated by God for God. That's what it means. He separates you, and it's immediate once you get saved. But there's also a maturation of sanctification, whereas we grow in the Lord day by day. Okay, so take a look at what happens here in 1 Samuel 3:10. It says, the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for what? Your servant hears. Samuel was able to hear, and now he's ready to listen. He calls himself God's servant. He's sanctified. He's set apart for a purpose, a divine purpose. Okay? Now, Samuel, just to give you a little background on Samuel, Samuel ended up becoming what's called a Nazarite. And he took what's called a Nazarite vow. Okay, the Nazarite vow was something very few people did, and there were different aspects of it. There's a lot of different aspects to a Nazarite vow. John the Baptist is another one. He took a Nazarite vow. Nazarite vow was somebody who would extra separate themselves for the service of God. They would pursue a very determined walk with God. And sometimes it was for a certain amount of time. A couple of times in Scripture, in Samuel's one of them, where it was for a lifetime. That's who he was. He pursued a deeper relationship with God through this Nazarite vow. Right? Basically, he stepped back and he said, I am yours now and forever. Now, we say that when we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, like, I'm yours. Okay? And then we want to grow in the Lord. A Nazirite vow is when he took that extra step and said, I am going to pursue holiness to such a degree that everything else in life disappears. And it's just you, Lord. That was a Nazirite vow, basically. That's the basic version of it, okay? And that's what he did. So he was constantly seeking this deeper relationship with the Lord by living a pure and holy life. And that makes sense because sin gets in the way. Sin takes, like, using the radio illustration, you know, if one of the neat things about this, and those of you that used to have radios like this, you'll remember, if you could have a good station, and then if you moved a little bit, it all of a sudden got fuzzy again, right? I'm like, I'm not even touching that thing. How is it? And then you move a certain way. Remember the rabbit ears on TV? How many of you remember the rabbit ears on television? Yeah, nobody under the age of me. Right. So, but the rabbit ears, you would have to twist and do this, and there were times where you'd have to touch it, and you look around, and okay, I can see the TV, right? Kind of the same thing, okay? Sin gets in the way and makes it fuzzy, okay? Isaiah says this in Isaiah 59:2. He says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. It's like the radio. It's turned on, but it may not be tuned in. I got to turn it on. Salvation turns us on. Tuning it in lets me hear a station. Sanctification allows me to hear from God. It puts me in a position to be able to listen to what God has to say to me. And that's what happens here. The way we tune into God as we grow as disciples, we pursue holiness. Psalm 24 says this. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? In other words, who's able to approach God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus makes us pure by what he did on the cross. Then we walk in purity by following him, by drawing closer to him. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not just a bunch of rules. Okay, I did this today. Okay, I'm good, right? No, it's a lot more than that. It's God has saved me, he separated me, he has sanctified me, and calls me to walk in sanctification. Okay? Are we going to get that right all the time? How many of you did not sin at all in the last month? You're in church, so don't lie. Okay, good, right? But what happens when we do sin? Are we all done? Does that mean sanctification is blown out the door and we can never get back? What do we do? What do we do? Confess, repent, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? I mean, our God is... You ever just get so captivated by God that you're speechless? You're breathless? You're just kind of overwhelmed by who he is? Happens all the time because of who he is. And this is one of those times, wait a minute, you don't want me to mess up. You're not saying, hey, just go and do whatever you want. But when I do, you still love me enough to allow me to come back to you to hear your voice? He does. We can confess, we can repent, and that's walking in sanctification. And that's what he's telling us here. The Bible is the primary way he speaks to us today. Unfortunately, you know, we're not always intentionally listening to him. Paul lamented about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I fed you with milk, not solid food, and you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. So look at the first part of that, the first two verses. I fed you with milk. So he's using a word picture here. He's like, I've given you the basics about God. And not the real depth meat because you weren't ready. And the reason why you weren't ready is because you're still walking in the flesh. You're still not grasping that basic stuff about God. You're still not drawing closer to God in the most basic of ways. So how can I give you any more? When we had our children, they did not come out of the womb look up at me and say, hey, how about that steak dinner now? You can't feed a baby solid food, can you? You got to give it, it's on a liquid diet for a long time, right? When we first come to the Lord, we start out on a liquid diet. We get the basics about God. God loves me. It's through his grace. He's faithful. These are, you know. But then as we grow and as we obey him, as we follow him, as we draw close to him, we begin to learn more about him and more about him and grow closer to him. That's the process of sanctification. That's how we become disciples. If we're not growing, it's because we're not pursuing him. And if we're not pursuing him, we're not going to hear him. It all comes together. So here's what Paul says to the Corinthians. He was frustrated with them. The Thessalonians were a little different. Okay, the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. He doesn't say, hey, you Thessalonians, you got it. You guys are walking so good. You guys are doing everything you're supposed to do. You guys are perfect. You guys are with us. He doesn't say that. He says, you received God's word for what it is. It's the word of God. And that word is working in you. That's the process. That's what's happening here. It's not, I'm a super saint and I can do it all. It's God's word is working in me. I'm listening for it. I'm intentionally trying to get it. That's the process here. That's what makes us ready to hear God's word. It doesn't stop there. The final step that we see in Samuel's life tuning into God is we must be eager to listen to God. The key word here is surrendered. 1 Samuel 3:10. The Lord came and stood calling as other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, speak for your servant what? Hears. He's not watching the Super Bowl saying, I'll get to it. I just said it because I just said that this week. I said, yeah, I'll get to it. Angela asked me to do something. Yeah, I'll get to it. And I forgot. Yeah. But the Hebrew word for hear here is the word shema. Shema. S-H-A-M-A. Shema. And it means to listen carefully and intentionally. Carefully and intentionally. Samuel not only heard the voice of God, but he listened to the intent with a desire to understand God. How many of you have ever read something in this book and you're like, I don't get it? How many of you, it's still happening? It still happens to me. There are still things in this book that I'm like, I don't understand that. So what do? I close my Bible, I walk away because I can't understand it all, I'm done with God. No, I press in and I try to, Lord, keep talking to me. I know my skull is a little thick, but you keep talking to me, okay? Samuel is listening not just to hear God's voice, but to hear what God is actually saying. Reading God's word is not just to get through your 2 or 3 chapters or whatever for the day. It's to hear what God is trying to speak to your heart on that day. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to picture leaning in when somebody is speaking to try to hear them better. Picture that. We usually use our loud outdoor voice to get somebody's attention. We'll yell, hey, to get somebody's attention. But when we want to get an important message across, we tend to talk a little softer. The indoor voice, the smaller voice. God does the same thing. God has a big voice to get our attention. It could be a circumstance. It could be some big event. It could be almost anything, and he wants to get our attention. But then that still small voice begins to speak to our hearts and our soul as we get into God's word. And as he begins to speak to us and guide us and lead us, and he's not yelling and screaming. He's talking to us. He's speaking to our souls, our spirits. He's saying, my son, my daughter, I love you. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying this to you to hurt you. I'm not saying this to you to take away your fun or your joy. I'm saying this to you because I love you. And what I have to say to you is going to be better for you. That's how God speaks. He does have a big voice to get our attention, but he also has that still small voice. And in order to hear that still small voice, sometimes we have to lean in, like Samuel does. He says, speak, your servant Shema. Your servant is listening intently in order to hear what you're actually saying. Samuel heard God's voice. He obeyed it, and he grew because of it. Chapter 2, verse 26 says, now the young man Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with man. Many people today fall into the same trap that the enemy used with Adam and Eve. What did God tell Adam in the garden? He told him, you can have this and this and this. What did he tell him not to do? Not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, everything else you got, it's going to be good for you. You're my son. And then the devil comes along and adds another voice to the mix. So the voice of God said to Adam and to Eve, have whatever you want, just not that tree. You already know good. You don't need the evil. It's there so that you have an opportunity to worship me by obeying, but just don't eat from it. Then another voice comes in. Hey, why can't you eat from that? Hey, you're not really going to die. Hey, God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because he doesn't want you to be like him. If you do, you'll be God yourself. Another voice, a different message. And what did Adam and Eve do? They listened to the other voice instead. I can do everything right with this radio. I could turn it. I can make sure the batteries are good, which I did. I could turn it on. I could turn it to a station. But if it's not the right station, it's not going to be the right message. I could be saved. I could be walking in sanctification. But if I'm listening to the garbage in the world, if I'm listening to the garbage from the enemy, if I'm listening to the garbage from my own flesh and not listening to the voice of God, I'm not tuned into the right station. And that's what the devil did to Adam and Eve. And that's what he tries to do with you and I too. As the older I get, as some of you may be able to relate to this, the more difficulty I'm having discerning, like in a group of people, a bunch of people talking, I'm having a little bit of difficulty as I get older discerning who's saying what. Any of you there with me, you're like, there's just way too much going on here. I need to back off, right? Okay, I see some people nodding, thank you. I thought I was all alone in this, okay? Tuning into the right voice. There's a lot of voices in the world trying to get us to go this way and that way. More voices today than ever in the history of humankind. And very few of them are in alignment with this. I talked about that game today that's going to be on later on. There's going to be commercials. There's going to be a halftime show. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that's going to be saying all kinds of messages. Be careful. I'm not saying don't watch. I mean, if you can't watch the Super Bowl without being influenced by that stuff, then turn it off. It's not worth it. But just be careful. Be careful you're listening to the right voice. Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, be attentive to my words. Listening on purpose. Incline your ear to my sayings on purpose. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are the life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Turning the radio on, salvation. Turning to a station, sanctification. Turning to the right station, surrender to God's voice, nobody else's. Some people call it devotion. Some people call it their quiet time. Some people call it their personal Bible study. I want to take just a quick moment to figure out, well, how do we do this? Okay, so we're saved, we're sanctified, we're surrendered. We want to hear. I'll put it out there. How many of you want to hear from God? Yeah, okay. How do we do that? What are some practical ways that we can make it the highlight of our day? I've got just a little, I'm just going to take a minute here because we all have ways of doing it. There are so many Bible studies out there that you can get. There's so many different online resources. I just want to share a little bit of maybe how we can do it in some practical ways. I call it REP. I like alliterations and acrostics and all that kind of stuff. So I just call it REP. And it's ready, engage, and practice. So how do we get into God's word and get God's word into us? Think, those of you that exercise, think of, you're doing a rep. Okay, rep. Okay? The first one is ready yourself. Okay, ready yourself. How do we do that? Well, maybe set your Bible out and your study stuff out the night before. Now, we're talking like, we're going to get really like grassroots, rubber to the road, kind of practical stuff. Because sometimes we get up in the morning, there's so much going on. Where did I put my Bible? Where did I put my, I don't have time. And then, you grab your coffee and you run. The night before, set it all out. Wherever it is that you're going to sit to do your Bible study, just set it out. Get it ready for yourself. Set the coffee maker. So how many of you like coffee? Oh, yeah. How many of you like, when you're doing your quiet time, you get coffee and you sit down and you do your Bible study and you have your coffee. How many of you do that? Yeah, it's one of my favorite times. I got this big man mug now that I got for Christmas. It's huge. And I fill that puppy up with coffee. And I sit there and I read and I study and I drink my coffee and then I'm ready to go. Whatever you need, get it ready the night before. Okay, ready yourself. Another way is to take a couple of breaths, calm your spirit. Maybe visualize where you're going to be reading. So, for instance, maybe you're reading through Genesis or Exodus or whatever. Visualize sitting there with Moses in the wilderness. Maybe you're reading the Psalms. Picture yourself in the pasture start getting your mind ready for this stuff. Maybe you're reading through one of the epistles of Paul. Picture what it would be like at the temple. Just a couple of minutes. Deep breath, calm yourself, and think about the setting. Maybe you're reading the Sermon on the Mount. Imagine yourself sitting before Jesus as he's speaking to you. Make it real. Remember, these are not just a bunch of stories by some random people. These are actual events by real people. So just get your mind ready. You don't have to do that, but you can take a deep breath and calm your spirit. Usually in the morning, everything comes rushing and I got to do this. I got 8,000 things I got to do. And just take a second. Take a deep breath. Calm yourself. Go before the Lord. Then pray. Ask God to reveal his word to you. Ask God, Lord, I'm here like Samuel. Lord, here am I. I'm here. Your servant's here. I'm ready to hear. Speak to me. Do that. Literally do that. In your prayer, when you start, Lord, I'm ready. Let me hear your voice. Block everything else out. Let me hear your voice. That's why we call it a quiet. Some people call it a quiet time because of that. So that's the R. The E, engaging God's word. There are 1,000 ways of doing this. Okay? I just got a couple here. I just got through my Bible using what I call the SOAP method. Okay? And there's four aspects. So I meant to bring in my little book. I got a book that I write in. And it's divided into the four sections. It's the word SOAP. It just helps me to remember how to progress through it. So the S is scripture. Okay? Read until something grabs. People say, how much of my Bible should I read? I always say this, yes, whatever it takes, until something grabs you that won't let you go. So you say, I'm committed to reading 5 chapters a day, every day for the next year. That's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it might be more effective if you say, Lord, when you grab a hold of me with whatever it is that you got to say, I'm gonna land on that. Maybe that's a way of doing it. Okay. Observation is the study part of it. And there's a lot of study tools out there. A lot of us, some of you, you're tech oriented. There's a number of free Bible apps out there that are super helpful. One of them is Logos is a free app. You can also spend thousands and thousands of dollars on it, but they have a free version. Blue Letter Bible is another one. eSword is one of the best. because it's all free. Everything on it. There's commentaries, Bible dictionaries, all kinds of stuff. eSword's a little different. You can't get that on the App Store. You got to actually go to your browser, type in the words e-sword, and then it'll send you a link, and then you can download it right to your phone. And it gives you the Greek, the Hebrew, it gives you definitions, it gives you commentaries, Bible versions, all kinds of, whatever it is that you use, that's the observation part. Maybe you have a study Bible. How many of you have a study Bible at home? Those are great, okay? Be careful, just like with the Bible apps, the Bible is the word of God, the other stuff is what man says about it. So just be careful with that. I like to study. I've got all kinds of commentaries. I've got Bible programs. I like that. But when it comes down to it, is God's word is what's the most important. What people have to say about it might help me to understand it, but God's word is where it's at. Then there's the application part. How can I use what I just read immediately in my life? Immediately. So God's not going to speak to you and say, hey, this is for you 10 years from now. Don't worry about it until then. He's going to give you stuff to use that day. And then prayer. Thank God and ask him to continue to speak to you throughout the rest of the day. That's just the one that I use. There are other ones. There's a friend of mine uses the acronym HEAR, and that comes down to highlighting. So he'll read and he'll highlight in his Bible. How many of you write and highlight in your Bible and circle things? I love doing that because then I can go back to it and I say, oh, yeah, I remember when God spoke to me that way. Sometimes I put a date, whatever date that thing hits me. And then as I'm going through my Bible, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that day. I remember struggling with that. And I remember God speaking to me there. That was amazing. That's a one way of doing it. The E is explain. That's the study part of it. The apply, obviously, application. And the R is just like prayer. So there's a number of ways. One final one. You can use, there's probably dozens and dozens and dozens of these. One of them is dig. Dig is all about asking questions. Okay, so the first one is discover. What does the text say? What are the main points? What are the details? Who's talking here? Who's writing here? What is God trying to say? That's the investigate part. What does the text mean? What's the historical content? So dig is more of asking a lot of questions and getting those answers. The G is grasp. What does the text mean to me right now? How do I apply this to my life right now? So that's the E in rep, is to engage God's word. I'll say this. If you don't have a bunch of commentaries, if you don't have access to a smartphone that can get Bible commentaries, if you don't have a fancy study Bible, but you have a Bible, that's what you really need. Start today. Okay? It's funny. I had a friend that... he was kind of the flavor of the day kind of guy. And I remember he wanted to get into bike riding. He wanted to exercise on, he bought a fancy helmet. He bought a fancy water bottle. He bought the right shorts. He bought the right shirt. Apparently, if you're into bike riding, you have to wear a really weird colored shirt, I guess. I don't know. He's got all the stuff, right? He bought these glasses. You know what he didn't buy? A bike. He had everything else, but no bike. And I was like, John, he's like, yeah, I'm getting into biking. I'm like, but dude, you don't have a bike. He's like, well, that's expensive. I'm not going to get that for at least a year. I'm like, then you're really not getting into biking. You know, what you really need is a bike. Get the bike. What you really need is your Bible. If that's all you got, that's really all you need. The other things are just helps. Okay. So that's the E. The final one is the P. Practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. And very, very simple. When you're finished with your Bible, you're not finished. Remember we talked last week, it's alive. It's working in us. Keep seeking God and review what he said to you. Whatever he said to you in the morning. How many morning people here? How many totally not morning people? People say, when should I get into my Bible? I used to be that guy, because I'm a morning person. I used to be like, hey, the only time you get into God's word, you're going to get in the morning. The juices are flowing, and you know, you're full of energy. I realize that not everybody's like that. So when should you get into God's word? when you're at your best. If nighttime you're at your best, that's when your quiet time is. If the morning, that's when you're at your best, that's when your devotion time is. If the middle of the day, if it takes you, let's get it. How many of you it takes a couple, 2-3 hours for you to really fully wake up? Be honest. Okay. There's 3 of you, 4 of you that are totally honest. Okay. Then that's when you do it. Okay. I know people say, hey, the first thing that you do in the morning, maybe if that's the kind of person that you are, but maybe not. Whenever it is, remember ask God to keep speaking to you after you do it. Okay? 2 Timothy says this, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, dig, intentionally try to understand what it is God is speaking to you. The Bible is the one thing in this fallen world that becomes more valuable the more we use it. Let's bow our heads for a moment and pray. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed. It's easy to say, I'm going to start studying God's word the beginning of next month, or maybe next week, or people will do that a lot during, like, the new year. God says, I'm talking to you all the time. You can start today. So I want to encourage all of us to listen intently for what God is speaking to us. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you want to be sure about that, please see me on the way out. Pull me to the side. I'll be more than happy to chat with you a little bit. But understand, what I'm going to be sharing with you is what's in God's word. That's what we're trying to do to embrace God. Walter?